All right, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberverse podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
Greetings, I'm David. Merry whatever holiday we're on at this point.
I like to wish people whatever holiday it just happens to be at the time, but we're not really to any of them yet,
no.
So that's more like... I'll have to see when Hanukkah starts and just start wishing people happy Hanukkah.
Oh, yeah, I haven't even heard it. That may be late this year, because I haven't heard nothing about it yet. Granted, I don't hear as much about Hanukkah since I moved up to New York State, because I used to live next to a large Jewish community back in Jersey.
Oh. In Joysy.
Hanukkah starts a week from tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
I just like to wish people a Mela Kaliki Maka, because it's fun to say.
It is fun to say. And then it gets a song stuck in people's heads, which is always good.
Also that.
Well, it should. It gets stuck in old people like us.
Yes. Man.
Or people who are raised by old people.
Yeah, my parents watch that movie, like, several times every year, starting at Thanksgiving.
There's a movie?
David.
Is it in White Christmas or I just forgot?
No. No, it's in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I think it's also in one of the Home Alones.
Oh, I know.
Probably.
Okay.
I don't
associate it with any movies. I associate it with, like, car rides and malls and stuff.
And it's also possible that Lisa Chabert is filming Hallmark's Mela Kaliki Maka in Hawaii as we speak.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, today we are continuing our travel through the...
Oh, no!
What?
We're going to have another quiz this Christmas.
Oh, yes.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
It should be a Sean Astin-themed quiz.
I mean, that'd actually be kind of
except
nice.
That's probably... He probably didn't do a lot of Christmas stuff.
He's got to have done a couple.
I mean, probably a couple. Nothing springs to mind. I don't think they have Christmas in, like, I don't know, Rudy or whatever.
Anyway.
Wasn't that a... Holiday movie? Oh, it's a probably Thanksgiving movie. Anyway, we're getting derailed a lot. Because these episodes are kind of just...
It'd be like that.
Mostly okay.
Oh, I do have terrible news that he is indeed in, like, a made-for-TV Christmas movie with him and Neil McDonough, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You, Breck, he's the guy who plays Dum Dum Dugan in, like, Captain America. He's got, like, spooky blue eyes.
Okay, yeah.
That guy. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, like the name very much felt like a, hey, that guy, but I couldn't picture hey, that guy looked like. It's like, oh, yeah, he's got bright blue eyes. If only I would age that well.
That guy.
No, but there is indeed a Christmas quiz in the offing, so stay tuned to our special Christmas Patreon episode, in which I will once again torment my co-hosts.
Yeah, it's if you haven't had it listened to a Patreon episode around Christmas, it's an annual thing. You completely blindsided us with the first time, right?
Oh, I did, yes.
Okay, and it just keeps happening. It's fun and painful at the same time.
I would be much better at a quiz based on, like, Christmas songs by 90s alt-rock bands.
Well, let's just say the quiz this year is not...
We should do a musical one some year.
The quiz this year is not really that Christmas-themed.
Okay. Oh. Fair.
But it does have a theme.
Oh, no.
That's good, probably.
Dun, dun, dun.
But, of course, there will be, as always, a question about Lacey Chabert.
as is the way.
It's necessary now that we've done Rescue
Bots.
That's
true.
Hmm. And we've already had questions about Lost in Space, so I'm probably out.
All right, but so our first episode today is Spotted. Which is about an episode. It's an episode about a guy with spots.
Clever.
Spotted magnifying glass emoji.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So spotted in the other sense.
I guess right-facing magnifying glass emoji, because there's one that goes both ways.
Oh, does it now?
It's weird. It's one of those like emojis, like there's two versions, and I don't know why.
Clearly that one is bifocal.
Perhaps it is meant to be a play on words that has multiple meanings.
Mm. So this is the 9th episode of season 2 of Severus, first aired November 2nd, 2019. Written by Zach Atkinson, last seen in these parts, writing The Visitor, which was the episode that kind of introduced Cheetor.
Cheetor, our dumb friend.
Yes. And we see in this opening sequence that he has been our dumb friend from afar for many years.
He's been watching.
Yeah.
Waiting.
It starts out as this is going to be a recap episode from Cheetor's point of view.
Yeah, but thankfully, no. So so everybody is looking for Starscream, the Seekers, and the Allspark, none of which they can find anywhere.
When Cheetor, comes into the Autobot base, he's purring.
Yes.
While everybody else is talking.
Also, hey, cheetahs do purr, actually. Ooh. They are possibly the only big cat that purrs. They do purr. Mm. They also do not roar.
Mm.
Yeah, they just go, eh.
Also, Cheetor had been thinking about how maybe someday the Autobots and Decepticons will settle their differences. You fool. They will never settle their differences.
It's true.
But yeah, I like that he comes into the Autobot base just being a kitty, just sits around, sitting there being a cat, while everybody else is discussing things.
And he wants to help out. He wants to, wants to lend his expertise to everybody. And even though he is like a weirdly ethereal supernatural being, everybody's like,
everybody's kind of just ignoring him.
Yes.
Well, admittedly, he's very stealthy, so half of them probably didn't even hear him arrive, but
well, he was purring.
He's just a quiet kitty.
You could hear him purring.
Well, he's stealthy, which means that this is basically the equivalent of the cat that you always trip over.
Yeah.
And he spends much of this episode being tripped over.
Poor guy.
Hot Rod and Grimlock don't want any part of him. He startles Ratchet. He messes up Wheeljack's work. He almost gets shot by Prowl.
The way
Ratchet's voice is so weird to me. It doesn't fit Ratchet.
The way that he goes up to everyone and just asks them if he can assist them just in the same way every time is just extremely like children's book paced. Like, it just really feels like a little kid's book where it's just like the character, going and asking the same or offering the same thing to an array of different characters.
Yeah, it is very much like, greetings, may I help you? No, you may go help X. Greetings, may I help you? No, you may go help Y.
Yes.
Go ask Ratchet. Go ask Wheeljack. And yeah, it really, the cadence of it really felt like a toddler's picture book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not like a bad toddler's picture book.
No,
that's
not
necessarily being critical, but it was definitely something that it really felt that way to me.
So he ends up running into Bumblebee, who does. He alone is willing to help, as he recognizes a fellow himbo.
Yes.
And so he's like, hey, we can be scouts together.
Yay! New ship established. Wait, what? No, never mind.
So, they're sneaking around, they're stealing stuff from the other Autobots without being noticed. And so next up, playing hide and seek. But unfortunately, the Seekers are there, and they are not playing.
They are seeking, though.
Oh, yes.
One of them is Nova Storm, and I like that Nova Storm is just like we don't just have the one token female Seeker. We now have additional female Seekers.
Yes, we have at least one, and sometimes a second one.
Yeah.
It it occasionally depends.
R.I.P. Slipstream.
Well, no, I just meant Acid Storm.
Well, yes, depending on how Acid Storm is feeling that day. Yeah.
Yes.
So it is nice to have, like, a variety of named female seekers.
Speaking of today, Acid Storm is feeling very female.
That's right. She's,
yes,
she's
Acid Storm is presenting female in these episodes.
She is girl moding.
Yes.
I mean, do you think she just, like, yells it out, like, when, like, guys on Beast Wars would turn to beast mode? She just yells out, girl mode?
Girl mode!
That feels cliche.
Probably. That would be great.
Oh, girl mode was a graphic novel. Maybe that's what I'm remembering. Because I associated it with something that was just bugging me. Maybe I saw it on a shelf somewhere. Anyway,
so they are indeed pretty quickly captured by these Seekers and taken to Starscream's sinister base. And I'm still not quite sure what these Seekers are getting out of this.
Yeah, they're very much just a mostly silent cult.
Yeah, they're
just... I feel
just...
like we're kind of in like a sunk cost fallacy at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they're like, well, it's not like we can really go back to Megatron at this point, because he will definitely punish us.
Yes. Mm. So it's like, well, I guess we're stuck with this guy and his, weird rabid ferrets that he says are,
are
the reincarnated great men of history.
I mean, that's how cults are. They, like, cut you off from everyone else outside the cult, and just, it's a cult. It's just a cult at this point.
Yes. So, Starfish's plan is that he's going to take the supernatural Cheetor and, like, merge his spark with his own, giving him superpowers of some sort, And then he's going to test
it. But first, at least, yes, he's going to test it on Bumblebee and just a random scraplet who he thinks has the spark of some prime.
I feel that this would be... This show is not quite equipped to handle how creepy this theoretically could be.
Yeah, also the scraplet screaming is extremely distressing.
That is upsetting. It's making, like, weird, horrible noises.
Yeah, it's extreme. Like, it is... A creature in pain.
Yes. So yeah, he's hooked it up to this thing. Its energy stuff is happening.
But, was it the cortical patch from Prime or something like that?
Yeah, yes. And also from the first
picked up the Megatron a few times,
and also from the first season of this.
Yes, that's how Windblade was in the cyberverse of Bumblebee's mind.
Oh, right. Sorry. I blotted out so much of the first season of the show.
I mean...
Because it did not matter.
Yeah, clearly it did not matter. It was just some things that happened.
So, Cheetor remembers that, oh, yeah, I've got this thing of Energon. So he just, like, splashes it on these Seekers, who are then... It's like they were just slathered in barbecue sauce, and these scraplets all go attack them.
Yes, basically one of the things he had stolen when they were doing their scout training, he had stolen, like, I guess the equivalent of a blood bag from Ratchet. So he's just got this little container of spare Energon, and he just throws it on them.
An Energon juice box.
Yes, Energon juice box.
So he smashes this machine before it can transfer it, and so this... luckily results in Bumblebee's spark being, like, sucked back into his body and not, like, cast into the ether.
Yeah, his spark hadn't made the halfway point, so it just flowed back.
Yes.
Fortunately.
So they end up space bridging back to base, and they've got a scrambler with them, which they can now study.
Yay! Because one of the things that Wheeljack requested, was one of the things that he needed, was a live sample. So here you go, Wheeljack. Here is your live specimen.
Mm-hmm.
He was helpful.
Yes. So that now brings us to our next episode, Secret Science.
Battery emoji.
Battery emoji. This is the 10th episode of Cyber Season 2, first aired November the 9th, and is written by Dan Salgarolo. Previously seen writing Sabotage, first season episode.
Okay. Y'all Sabotage.
And also The Golden Knight.
Also what?
That one episode of
Robots in Disguise, where they're in...
Robots in Disguise, where they go to Britain and there's a dragon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was a weird but fun episode.
Yeah.
That was a neat episode. It had a lot of fix it. Mm. I always like it when there's lots of fix it.
Mm. So Wheeljack has slapped a tracking device onto this scrapping, and he's hoping that it will wander back to Starscream's base. But unfortunately, it comes across another scramblet, which has a Decepticon tracker on it. And surprise, it's Shockwave.
I like the way the two scramblets are just sort of like sniffing each other out.
Yes.
They're very crittery.
Because they're just stupid little animals.
Yes. But yes, there's another tracking device, and it's Shockwaves! Dun dun dun! It's angry eyebrow time.
Yes.
Thus begins the Mythbusters episode.
Yes. And much like Mythbusters, it appears that one of these guys has been taken hostage and is being forced to do this show.
Only it's kind of personality swapped.
Yes.
And facial hair. Well, their facial hair is similar, but... You know, we have the stern one and then the overly excited one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Angry eyebrow.
And, well, Shockwave is kidnapped. Wheeljack, and also his little scraplet, so there's two of them so they can experiment and stuff.
Yes, but he's kidnapped him specifically to make him help with his lab work.
Yes, but how are you going to keep me here and make sure you help me with lab work? Bumblebee is the princess in distress again.
Yep.
Yeah, he's getting... this guy's in bondage a lot this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's all sorts
it's
of
cool, like that.
Yeah, but there is all sorts of cool stuff in this lab that Wheeljack is not supposed to touch.
But yeah. He wants to. He wants to touch it all. Yes, at one point, Shockwave literally says, do not touch.
Yes. So he leaves. So, you know, so he's got to do other Decepticon stuff, but he's leaving he's leaving Wheeljack to do this stuff on his own with Thing to keep him company.
Lefty. Well, Wheeljack calls it Lefty. This is like the coolest bit of Shockwave lore that has been added since the Angry Eyebrow. Shockwave's hand, that used to be a hand where it's now a gun, he kept the hand and it just sort of floats around like a mage hand.
So,
doing his dirty work. I love it.
I'm wondering, did he decide to replace his hand with a gun and just repurpose the spare hand into a drone? Or did he decide that his left hand would be more useful as a drone and then just gave himself a gun hand in its place because he had this spare stump?
Sure. Both, yes.
And then like, my other question, does he also have, like, his second eye out there somewhere, too?
Ooh, maybe.
Oh, that would be it's Shockwave's other eye as a plot device.
That would be amazing.
It's a walking eye, Hank.
Let's click on there. Neat. Wait, where does the...
So, you know, he's back to see Megatron. Megatron is just, you know, berating him.
As he does.
And he's like, maybe Soundwave would be better at your job, huh?
Soundwave plays some taunting music.
It is very weird, very strange that this is the Soundwave I hate the most. And wait a second, I have to kill my... No, Windows, I do not need to restart now.
Nope, sorry, I'm afraid you gotta restart right now. You know what doesn't make you restart right now? Is Linux.
Yeah, let me reschedule the restart so it doesn't happen. No, like... There, Saturday. Although I'll probably do it tomorrow or something, but...
I like the post that somebody... made that said, here is your Mastodon recapped. You've posted about Linux too much.
You know, I posted about it at all that I'm never going to use it, but everyone else on Mastodon, yeah.
So much.
And so meanwhile, Bludgeon is testing these scraplets, by which I mean he's trying to kill them.
He's succeeding in murdering him. He's trying to find a weakness, but mostly that involves hacking them to pieces.
Yes. I am choosing to believe that this Bludgeon does not speak because he's just constantly doing an internal monologue about being the master of Metallica. But yeah, it also seems like he's not actually testing anything except, like, his sword moves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's no experimentation going on. He's just slicing them up. It's very much like that, my greatest weakness, bullets.
Yeah, he just dodges them and proceeds to chop them to shreds.
While you were studying these scraplets, I was mastering the sword.
Yes. So yeah, he's allegedly testing them for weaknesses, but he just seems to be determining that, yes, they are weak against a sword. Which, good job. The master of Metallicado.
So meanwhile, Wheeljack tricks this hand into giving them the gun that it's holding, and then there is a vaguely Evil Dead 2-esque fight.
I love that, like, no, he managed to trick it because, like, he's, like, bolted together. He can't move his wrists much while he's trying to fiddle with things. It was like, could you hand me the spanner? The hand puts down a gun, hands him the spanner. Ask him for something else, hands him that. Can I have the gun? It hands the gun over. I didn't expect that to work. That made me laugh so loud.
This is where I realized that we are now just consistently calling guns blasters in the fiction as well as the toy packaging.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Transformers, that at least makes sense.
It does, but then it got me thinking, like, it's a little confusing because you already have a guy named Blaster, and he does not seem like someone who would just go around calling himself Gun. Like, there are definitely Transformers who would just call themselves Gun.
Well,
but not him.
He's a shock jock disc jockey named Gun. It does kind of work.
Maybe.
Anyway, just if I ever refer to them as Transformers bots, I've been replaced with a pod person and need to be euthanized.
Been replaced by a corporate pod person.
That's right. Also, if I were to talk about how you convert the figures.
Yes, you convert the figures.
I may have used the word convert.
Someone in one of the live streams recently did let a gun slip, and I was very glad to see that he was not taken out and shot for it.
No, I think we'd be more worried if you, like, say weird things about Spider-Man.
you don't really need the hyphen in there.
Yes, that would be the sheer sign that you're a pod person.
Yes.
You can't see, but I'm blinking SOS.
But yes, Wheeljack asks it for a gun, and it gives it to him. He says, hey, I didn't think that would work.
Mm-hmm. And then he gets manhandled as they fight, and it's great.
And then he finds out that Bumblebee was never actually there. It's a hologram.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, good job, Shockwave.
It's the EMH, Emergency Mechanical Hostage.
Which I do like that's subverted. Like, after last episode when Bumblebee got captured, it happens again, but then it's not Bumblebee. It works well. This is my favorite episode of this series so far.
I know, guys. I know. I mean, if this had actually been him, he would have been filling out that April O'Neil punch card pretty fast.
Yes.
And meanwhile, Bludgeon is now fighting Windblade, who is mad that he killed what's her name?
Slipstream.
Slipstream.
Yeah, you're like, whoever that was.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. Windblade knew Slipstream for 5 minutes, and she was ready to pull up that U-Haul, and she got murdered. And Windblade is mad about it.
She has a really good speech about, it's like, oh, you killed the one Decepticon who yada yada. You knew her for 5 minutes, lady. Like, I mean, I get the sentiment,
I'm declaring that to have very lesbian overtones. Balls,
yes.
That she was just knew her for 5 minutes and was so desperately smitten already that she's now going to dedicate herself to revenge.
Yes. And unfortunately, she's taken the guy who will least appreciate her big speech, because he's just...
speechifying himself and not listening to a word she says.
He's just got a whole running narration in his head. If this was a comic, it would just be like so many thought bubbles. Just the entirely thought bubbles.
Oh, your protests are like the buzzing of flies to a master's metallicato.
Yep.
Exactly.
So, you know, Shockwave comes back. He's pretty mad about the whole Megatron thing. He's like, hey, you know, I've read those Bob Budiansky comics. Maybe I should be in charge.
Yeah. Had a good idea with that.
But then, in fact, he realizes that now Wheeljack is the hologram and that he's escaped.
Yep.
Oops.
We get a brief cameo from Lockdown and Clobber here, lamenting that their oil baths are all recycled.
Sad. It's sad being just like...
It is still weird that it's those two that are the comedy Decepticon thugs, but they have a good dynamic at least.
Yes. It is just weird that it's Lockdown and not like any of the other bazillion generic Decepticons it could be, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Any random Stunticon except for Motormaster.
Yeah, just to pick a couple of random Scramble City guys. Like, I don't know. Nautilator and
Lobclaw.
Exactly.
Yeah. Breakdown. He'd be good for complaining.
Which breakdown?
Or like, you know, I don't know, Quake and Windsweeper. Something.
Yes. Love a late G1 pull.
Exactly. Pull a couple guys of the 1988 catalog in bisexual lighting colors.
Yes. Let's get Ruckus in there. And
why the hell did I come up with Lobclaw instead of Nautilator?
That is bizarre.
I guess it's funnier. Anyway.
Anyway, so Wheeljack is trying to get out of here, but Shockwave is like, well, okay, well, you know, I thought you were going to be science bros, but you know, I just got burned.
Yep. Guess not.
And meanwhile, Megatron
also, Shockwave's alt mode is distressing.
Yeah, I hate it. I mean, it's used okay here, but it's just... He's like one of those stupid, like, Boston Dynamic robots that stands like a person and then just falls down and crab walks on all fours. It's unsettling, but it's not efficient.
No. So unfortunately, Shockwave is going to have to deal with Megatron, who is busy fighting
Lefty
Shockwave's hand. Yes.
Yes.
He's feeling like Michael Caine in The Hand. Or like, what's that guy's name? Jeff Fahey in Body Parts.
Ooh.
Or was it Seth Green in Idle
Green.
Hands? Or no, I think Seth Green's one of the guys who gets killed.
Right, Seth Green is the best friend who gets murdered with a bottle in his head and ends up being he's like the guy that gets killed in American Werewolf in London, effectively. But it's a hand
is
instead
it Devin
of a
Sawa? I want to say is the main guy in Idle Hands.
I don't know, some guy we don't remember.
I mean, he's like a known guy.
Devin Sawa?
Yeah, he's been in stuff. I think he's in that first Final Destination.
Oh
boy.
I guess?
He's like the main guy in the first. And
it is him on Idle Hands. Wow, he's just got this face that sort of rolls off my head.
And he's a live Casper in that Casper movie.
Oh.
Weird.
There's a
Do you not see that Casper movie?
Why would I have seen that Casper movie?
Yeah.
I remember the Ghostbusters scene. That's about it.
The Ghostbusters scene followed by a Father Guido Sarducci scene.
Okay, I forgot about that. Man, I haven't thought about Guido in a while.
It's weird.
Is he still alive?
He was on Colbert last year talking about the Papal Conclave.
Pope. Yes.
Oh, good for him that he's lived long enough for that.
That's right.
Like the culmination of his career.
Ah.
Anyway.
Yeah, so he's escaping this ship. Shockwave has to zap his own hand. But Shockwave is like, hey, Megatron, I'm aware that my hand tried to kill you, but also, I got this thing that controls grapplets now.
So, forgiven?
Success.
And meanwhile, Windblade gets slashed by Bludgeon. But before he can deliver the coup de grace, Wheeljack gets there and uses one of Shockwave's devices on him, magnetizing him to float into space to die like John Lithgow in Santa Claus the movie.
Yeah, fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. I hope we never see Bludgeon again, because that would be a funny ending.
That would be pretty hilarious.
Believe it or not, we don't see him until...
I think we do see him.
We don't see him until, like, next season, so it's possible he was up there for a long time.
That's perfect! It's like, he doesn't do anything, he doesn't talk. You don't really need him around, you got a bunch of extra goons. It's just having him float away to the moon for a season is fun.
Yes.
Is he magnetized? He took a magnetized device, a magnetization device, and used it to stick an anti-gravity device onto him. Okay. So we're...
And also his sword to his forehead.
Yes, also his sword to his forehead.
So they get away, and that is the end of our episode.
It's so simple, but like everything is hitting just about right in this episode. It's good.
It is.
Like most of, like first season I could like entirely live without. Most of the episodes this season have been okay to this one just, this is a good damn episode, finally. Yeah. Thank you. More, please. More like idiot science bros who hate each other.
Well, speaking of guys who hate each other, stay tuned for next week.
Yes. Oh no.
Because we got two guys who have an infinite vendetta.
Feels more like two guys who need to have their toys sold. But
also that. I mean, it feels very much like a Bob Budiansky G1 episode where it's like, Bob, you need to sell these two guys.
Hmm. He's like, ah, fine, Jim. I'm assuming Jim Shooter is the one passing down these edicts.
Yeah, I'm not sure if... I'm just not sure if like Hasbro had like a direct line to Budiansky or if it had to go through Marvel Editorial.
Probably through Marvel, I would imagine.
I mean, it'd probably be on Don Daly, who was the editor of a lot of the G1 run, and also was the guy who, upon his layoff, he later became the editor of all of Marvel's Punisher books.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was laid off from Marvel in the mid-90s, they found that he had paid for, like, $100,000 worth of Punisher stories that they couldn't possibly publish because that was too much Punisher and people were now tired of the Punisher.
Too much Punisher.
Because apparently, I remember hearing this from Dan Slott, where, like, whenever somebody would, like, drop into Daly's office, he'd be like, hey, you want to write a Punisher story? And they'd be like, okay.
Okay.
He'd be like, all right, sure.
So you'd write the Punisher story for him, he'd pay you for the Punisher story, and then he'd be prepared to use it at some point, and then I guess never got around to using most of them.
Did they ever do anything with those?
Well, I mean, they used a bunch of them. Because there was a time when like the Punisher had three books every month, plus like...
Yeah, there was the regular one, there was War Journal, what was the third one?
Yeah.
War Zone.
Oh, they were too similar. Ugh.
And then also, eventually, there was 2099.
Yeah, and they were also running, like Punisher Summer Special, Punisher Back to School Special, that would have a bunch of these, like, short Punisher stories, including one where the Punisher fights, like, the band Gwar.
Oh, my God.
But like,
I hope he actually lost because it's Gwar.
Well, see, it was fictionalized, so they didn't get sued. So it was Worg.
Okay, so how many times did they burn that comic on stage?
And the deal was they were like a masked heavy metal band that were actually killing people as part of their stage show. And then they got killed by the Punisher.
You do.
But, you know, and then eventually the Punisher market crashed, and then the Punisher was reduced to one book a month when he had a ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
You.
And they were just left with all these unsold Punisher stories. So they just had to write them all off.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah.
That is something that definitely needs to be, like, dug up and collected somewhere, though.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, there's an infinite vendetta going on next time, and also the conclusion to this Starscream plotline with like four episodes left in the season.
Suddenly,
that's wrapping it up kind of quick.
I told you guys that this series has no idea what it's doing pacing wise.
Yeah,
it does not seem to actually understand when seasons begin and end.
No. But of course, until then, we are all over the internet. We are on, Blue Sky. We are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is at patreon.com/iconunderground. Every month for our Patreon supporters, we do some fun special episode. For last month, for November, we finally watched Fantastic Four First Steps as a group. It's always fun getting to do the MCU movies. We like to wait until they're on streaming just so, you know, people who can't or don't make it to the theater don't feel left out. But that was a lot of fun to talk about unreasonably powerful children and giant men walking around and sampling the soil. December, we always like to, normally we reach into the grab bag of holiday specials from the past several decades, but this time we're choosing one that's a newer vintage, because the recently leaked out of nowhere Micronaut series that we spoke about a few episodes ago does have a Christmas episode. So I am very excited to share that with everyone. It's a lot of fun. I was actually reading down the list in Wikipedia of Christmas specials, and there's also a Dan Versus Christmas special.
Ooh. That, I see that's Dan Versus Christmas.
It's like Dan Versus the Mall Santa, I think.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
So... Yeah, we may have to put that on the list, but no, we will be watching the Micronauts Christmas episode. It's a lot of fun. Like, I've really been, like, I watched the series, like, two times through, which, you know, it's like 50-some episodes, so you can, by the time you get to the end of it, you've probably forgotten details about the beginning, so... but yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to sharing another episode of that with everyone. Fortunately, I'm pretty sure the other upload stream on YouTube is still up, which does not dissuade me from my conspiracy theory that it's secretly somebody from Hasbro doing it on the lowdown. But I'm glad that it's out there. So yes, as little as a dollar a month, you can join our Patreon, and that is patreon.com/iconunderground.
All right. So until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
Put it in the can.
Okay.
Great, dude.
Squiggles are squiggling.
The cats are settling down more or less. Rachel Summers might be shipping by the end of the month too, so that's great.
She'll be shipping just as you're shipping her with Kitty Pryde.
Yes. Heck yeah.
I have so many things in the mail because I can't reliably find things in stores except for goddamn Gigawatt.
Yeah. He just showed up out of nowhere. That was cool.
I forgot to mention it, but I did post pictures, at least in our Discord. I thought I did it in Wiki, too, but I guess not. Anyway.
He's a fun toy. I got the, the story I like to tell about how I got one of the numbered ones from Ross. Hmm. And no one else did, except, one other person who posted about it on Reddit. I figured that, there'd be a wave of people posting that they got them, but no. It's just the original poster and me.
You'd think maybe, but, Ross is just unreliable. Sometimes you get a lot of stuff. I mean, I haven't even seen Transformers of Ross in months.
I didn't even go to Ross when I was up in Winchester today, but I was kind of in a hurry, so get back here to set up cat shelter stuff on the back porch before we recorded. Well,
after coming back from the last convention, after wearing my really good fucking shoes and not wanting to wear them the fuck out and been trying to go back to Ross to find a second pair.
Yeah.
I go there every 2 or 3 weeks.
I should go there during a lunch break at work again this week. Anyway.
Weather depending, I'll go this week. Anyway.